Who is the greatest?
It's a question that they asked again and again in the New Testament. Peter, Andrew, James, John. Who is greater? Who is the greatest of them all? We look again at Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. From there they went out and began to go through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know about it. For he was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he has been killed, he will rise 3 days later." But they did not understand this statement, and they were afraid to ask him. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he began to question them. "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had discussed with one another which of them was the greatest. Sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Taking a child, he set him before them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me." One of Jesus' themes throughout the gospel was talking about his death, burial, resurrection, and his ascension. So important for our faith. Our Sunday school class this morning, we began a series by Josh and Sean McDowell called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. If you're unsure about your faith, I'd encourage you to come and share in that time together at 9:45 Sunday mornings for the next maybe 2 months. We'll be going over evidence that demands a verdict. Jesus talked about his death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension. Should throw that in as well. Those 40 days between his resurrection and ascension, so important, because in those 40 days he laid down the evidence for our faith. Over 500 people saw him at one time. Great evidence for our faith. How many times did Jesus talk about his death, burial, and resurrection? I know the Gospels sometimes, at least Matthew, Mark, and Luke, repeat. John, more times than the other Gospels, he talked about his death, burial, and resurrection. But to his disciples, over and over again, they kept missing it. Matthew, 14 times. Mark, the gospel that we're studying this morning, 10 times he talked about his death, burial, and resurrection. Luke, 13 times. And John, as I mentioned, more than the others, 18 times Jesus spoke of his death, burial, and resurrection. Well, what brought on this latest talk of his resurrection? The recent events included the transfiguration. Jesus went up into a mountain with Peter, James, and John, and they saw his Shekinah glory, the glory that God revealed himself in the Old Testament in the temple, tabernacle first and then the temple. Jesus now reveals his glory with Elijah and Moses to Peter, James, and John. But while that was all happening down below in the shadow of the mountain, the scribes had sent people to prosecute the disciples of Jesus. A man had brought his demon-possessed son. The disciples that were left in the valley were powerless against this demon who possessed this boy. And then Jesus' words about his future. Now, they were supposed to be listening to what Jesus was saying. So many times, I'm not sure if it's men more than women, we just don't pay attention the way we should. I got one amen. Have you ever had a time in your life when you were supposed to be listening and instead were thinking of something else? It happens a lot, doesn't it? Communication skills. God gave us two ears, one mouth. We use our mouth more than our ears most of the time. So they argued about who was the greatest. Peter, of course, was probably the first one to speak, and he would have said something like, I should be the greatest because the Father revealed Jesus' true identity to me. Well, Andrew could have responded, now, Peter, you wouldn't even have known about Jesus if it wasn't for me. I brought you to Jesus. I should be the greatest. Well, how about James and John? They had gone up the mountain with Peter to see the transfiguration. And they could have said, well, we are the defenders of the faith. Jesus even nicknamed us the sons of thunder. We are the greatest. And of course, the others, Simon the Zealot, could have said, I'm more charismatic than the rest of you. I should be the greatest. And perhaps Judas Iscariot chimed in, no, I'm the greatest. Jesus trusts me with the money. John the Apostle realized the truth in his last epistle, where he wrote of Diotrephes that he loved to have the preeminence among them. And John had learned by that time that it wasn't a good thing. So Jesus said, what were you discussing on the way? Busted. Now they knew they were in trouble. What were you discussing on the way? I read through the last part of the Old Testament while we were in San Diego. We did have a little spare time. And I was impressed, I believe it was in Jeremiah and in Isaiah, that the Lord talked about his burden for Israel and for Judah. And I remember those last 7 years that my dad was living with us, and he would say, I don't want to be a burden. And I guess a little bit of that rubbed off on his son, because my response to what I had been reading in Isaiah and Jeremiah was, Lord, I don't want to be a burden to you. Some of the scriptures, however, as I studied a little bit more, I read Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. I found out that being a burden wasn't a bad thing. And of course, you know, with my dad, the love that I had for him was more than the burden that he could have been or would have been to me. I thought of that little saying, he's not heavy, he's my brother. And God's love for us is so strong. I don't think we ever have to worry about being a burden to him. Cast your burden on the Lord. He wants that burden. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never feel evil. Zephaniah 3:15. He wants to defend us. In fact, when Israel trusted in him in the Old Testament, he gave them the victory over their enemies. When they started to put their trust in the armies of Assyria or the armies of Egypt or different ones, that's when they suffered the defeats. But when their trust was in the Lord, they always experienced victory. Jesus bears our burdens. Just think of who Jesus reached out to. He reached out to the people who could do nothing for him. Jairus' daughter, the widow Nain, the Gadarene demonic, blind Bartimaeus, the dying thief, and so many more. including you and me. In fact, the night before Jesus died, he washed the feet of those who would run away from him. He washed the feet of one who would deny knowing him 3 times. He even washed the feet of one who would betray him. Jesus died for those who would never repay him. He died for those who would fail him. He died for those who would deny him and even those who would dishonor him. And then Jesus sat down and he took up a child. By this time, I'm sure Peter was thinking, I'm glad he didn't put me over his knee. But what could be more of a burden than a child? We sang the song, Come As You Are. We're going to sing the song, Just As I Am. But when Jesus came, he came as a child. And a baby is a burden, isn't it? It's a blessing, but it's a burden. Jesus was a burden to Mary. Jesus was a burden to Joseph. But it's all wrapped up in that idea of love. The love of a parent for a child. And it's God's love for us. He loves us so much that he wants us to be a burden to him. In fact, the more dependent I am, the greater I will be. As I put my trust in him, by his grace, the stronger I'll be. May I be dependent more and more upon Jesus. Come as you are. Jesus sent them out. After many others, the self-sufficient refused to come. Jesus sent them out to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. Jesus wants us to come. To be a burden, as a child would come, to be a burden to its parents, we come to be a burden to the Lord. We don't deserve it, but we come. We receive his mercy and his grace. We trust in his sacrifice for us. His body given, his blood shed.